Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Well, we just got back from the Manhigut Yehudit dinner. Recently in New York with Prime Minister candidate Moshe Feiglin. All I can say is, wow. Stay tuned for the details. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and I am your host, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Yep, Prime Minister candidate Moshe Feiglin, co-founder of Manhigut Yehudit, which means Jewish leadership, was in New York last Monday night to update us on the state of Israel and the advances that the Jewish leadership movement were making in Israel. They're going to turn the state of the Jews into the Jewish state, and they're going to save Eretz HaKodesh from a slow death, God forbid. Feiglin is now number two in Likud and is way ahead of schedule to take the Likud back to its original Jewish values. If another vote is called, Feiglin will most likely be the leader of Likud. In his first election, he was 3%. In the second election, he was 13%. Then 24%. Well, basic math says the next election puts him over the top. And on the way to forming a true Jewish values government, what was just a dream a few years ago is now reality. All the naysayers are now believers. We are, after all, heading into the month of miracles, Nissan, which is very appropriate. Parsha this week is also about miracles. Shmini, which means eight. With 7 days in the week, the number eight is above nature and represents the time of Moshiach, our righteous Redeemer. And it's going to take us out of this gullus, this diaspora, and bring us back to the Holy Land. May it happen before this show is over. It's also Shabbos Parah, where we read about the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, which will be offered in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Holy Temple, in the times of Mashiach. Shmini talks about the 7 days of inauguration of the Mishkan in the desert. And we talked about that in the past. And Aaron and his sons begin to officiate, but two of his sons, Nadav and Avihu, offer a strange fire on their own without permission. And they get a little too close to God without really knowing what they were doing there. Their souls leapt from their bodies back to their source in the Holy One. Blessed be He, of course, and their bodies expired. Aaron is silent, and Moshe understands. God then commands the Bnei Yisrael to keep the kosher laws and describes them. Animals must chew the cud and have split hoofs. Fish must have fins and scales. Of course, don't mix meat and milk. Birds must not be birds of prey, and only four types of insects are kosher. Finally, ritual purity is discussed and ways that it can be accomplished. And speaking of being pure, the staff of the JE is purely here to bring you the best in Shabbos preparation programming. I love that, SPP. With Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Moshe Bakar, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Ms. Deborah DeLynn reporting from Israel, and Dr. Michael Shulman. Sue, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in southwestern Pennsylvania. Our special guest this week is Eva Etzoni Halevi, who's a writer who's written a biblical novel called The Triumph of Devorah. Now, having a daughter named Devorah, your host, of course, The Feminine Perspective, I had to have her on. There's some fascinating stuff. Stay tuned, straight ahead. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National News, coming up in the half hour. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at JewishExperienceRadio.com. And, of course, you shouldn't forget to sponsor your favorite segment to honor Simcha or to remember Yahrzeit. Your help keeps the JE on the air for you. As always, I want to thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own musical Moishi, and Artistic Photography. Now, we got candlelighting time tonight, 7:23 p.m.
לקודש ברוך היא לסס מוכי לצדיקים והיא יושב ביניהם וגם מידת סיר הקודש ברוך היא לסס מוכי לצדיקים והיא יושב ביניהם וגם מידת סיר הקודש ברוך היא לסס מוכי לצדיקים והיא יושב ביניהם וגם מידת סיר הקודש ברוך היא לסס מוכי לצדיקים והיא יושב ביניהם וגם מידת
Insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The days of the festival of our liberation are approaching, when we will again recall that great event at the dawn of our history, when our people were liberated from Egyptian bondage in order to receive the Torah as free men. Memory and imagination are the ability to associate oneself with an event in the past, and in so doing, to live again through the emotions that were felt at the time of the event. Only physically are we bound by time and space. In our minds, we can travel through without limits, and the more spiritual we become, the closer we can approach the past. the more intensely we can experience its message and inspiration. Remembering is a spiritual achievement. Commenting on the verse, "And these days shall be remembered and done," which is a verse in the Megillah, the rabbis say that as soon as those days are remembered, they are reenacted in heaven. The divine benevolence that brought the miracles in the past is wakened again by our act of recollection. This is one of the reasons why we have been enjoined to remember the liberation from Egypt in every generation and every day, and why every Jew must see themselves as if he had been freed from Egypt on that very day. For every day he must personally go out from Egypt, that is, he must escape from the limits, temptations, and obstructions that his physical existence places in the way of his spiritual life. The counterpart of the liberation from Egypt is the liberation of the divine soul from the constraints of its physical environment. And this must be experienced every day if true freedom is to be reached. And when it is achieved, as it must be, with the help of Hashem, who freed our people from Egypt, and through a life of Torah and mitzvahs, a great spiritual anguish is ended. The inner conflict between what is physical and what is divine in the Jew's nature is transcended. And then, only then, can he enjoy real freedom, the sense of serenity and harmony, which is the preclude to freedom and peace in the world at large.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, and did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience,
412-521-2600. Be shall sunny, sing my sunny, sing love a singer. They go on my son, they go on my son, may up this the famous. Be shall sunny, sing my sunny, sing love a singer. They go on my son, they go on my son, may up this the famous. Be shall sunny, sing my sunny, sing love a singer.
For a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Rabbi Gershom Me'or HaGola lived in Germany about 1,000 years ago, and he was among the first of the great scholars known as Rishonim, and was a disciple of the great Rabbi Hai Gaon. Rabbi Gershom's famous enactments, known as Cherem DeRabbeinu Gershom, continue to have a great impact on Jewish life. The best known of these is the dictum that a Jewish man may not be married to two women simultaneously, an act permissible according to biblical law. The reason for his enactment was to prevent strife between the two wives, which seemed to be a problem in Rabbi Gershom's time. Although this decree was originally set to expire in the year 5000 or 1240 of the Common Era, Ashkenazic Jews extended the restriction, thus giving it the force of eternal Jewish law. Another decree related to the first is the limitation of the Jewish husband's power to divorce his wife. Under biblical law, a divorce may be effected against her will. However, at that time, due to the increasing abuse of this rule by men who arbitrarily divorced their wives, Rabbi Gershom took this step to protect Jewish women. An exception is the much misunderstood Heter Meir Rabbanim, a dispensation given by 100 rabbis in 3 countries for a man to marry a second wife while still technically married to the first one. Such an exception is only performed in extremely limited circumstances, such as when the wife committed adultery, in which case the Torah prohibits the marriage to continue. If at that point the wife refuses to receive a get, a divorce document, one may be written for her and deposited with a Jewish court. She is then notified that any time she wishes, she may receive the get and be free of the marriage. Then, and only then, may the husband initiate the Heter Meir Rabbanim process, which allows him to remarry. Clearly, this process is not a method for a husband to escape marriage while leaving his lawful wife in limbo. A third of Rabbi Gershom's decrees is that one may not read sealed letters sent to another person, although such reading is also forbidden under the biblical injunction against gossip, Lo Seilech Rachel Be'amecha. To emphasize its severity, Rabbi Gershom imposed a cherem, a ban on such behavior. It then became customary to write on the outside of letters the Hebrew acronym Upagin de Ragma, based on a verse in Ecclesiastes 10:8, which stands for one who breaks a fence, a ban, of Rabbi Gershom should be bitten by a snake. Rabbi Gershom also enacted the decree that if a Jew converted to Christianity and subsequently repented, he should be welcomed back to the community and not encounter any discrimination. Rabbi Gershom's disciples were the teachers of Rashi. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
The political pundits are active, with American Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice arriving in Israel Saturday night, and Egyptian Intelligence Chief Omar Suleiman slated to visit Israel this coming week to further the diplomatic process. Arshad Mohammed of Reuters says that Rice is faced with a dead-end roadmap plan, plagued by a lack of progress that might lead Israel and the PLO to abandon it. Referring to last November's meeting of Middle East leaders in the United States, Mohammed, quoting a senior Arab diplomat, is saying, "For Annapolis to have any credibility whatsoever, come May, we will have to show some positive evidence of progress both on the political as well as the real-life issues, or people will start losing hope in the process." United States President George W. Bush has said he wants to visit Israel in May for the 60th anniversary celebrations of the modern Jewish state, but first wants to see some serious moves made toward a final status agreement for a new Arab state within Israel's current borders. The Tel Aviv-based Reut Institute has concluded that the PLO considers itself as having the upper hand with Israel and is therefore less interested in creating that state under conditions on which Israel has insisted, according to the New York Jewish Week. The Institute stated that Israel is acting on an irrelevant assumption that the PLO's primary goal is to create a demilitarized new country based on Israel's security interests. Reut President Gidi Greenstein believes that if and when Israel and the PLO sign a formal peace plan, the potential for major violence would be heightened, predicated on terrorist opposition. Arab foreign ministers rehashing the 2002 Saudi peace plan ahead of this weekend's meeting of the Arab League in Damascus, watered down because of Syrian meddling in Lebanon. A Syrian missile attack would kill 200 people and wound 2,800 others, according to a document cited by strategypage.com. If the missiles were to contain chemical warheads, the number of casualties could soar to 16,000 and leave 200,000 Israelis homeless. The site said the document assumes Iran would fire some of its own missiles with conventional warheads as well. Syria's underground storage and launch facilities contain missiles with a range that can reach southern Israel and are meant to hit airports as well as population centers. Speaking to his Arab League counterparts, Syrian Foreign Minister Walid Mualim, rehashing his country's claim that Israel is not capable of reaching a peace agreement with the Assad regime, just days after Prime Minister Ehud Olmert hinted that Israel might be holding or planning to hold secret talks with Syria, Infrastructure Minister Benjamin Ben-Eliezer telling government radio that all efforts are being made to bring Syria to the negotiating table in spite of Syria's price tag of regaining control of the Golan Heights. Ben-Eliezer says Defense Minister Ehud Barak is involved in those efforts. Barak set to present Secretary Rice with a list of goodwill gestures Israel is making to the PLO against the backdrop of a warning that could backfire if Hamas adds Judea and Samaria to its Gaza takeover. Those gestures include weapons and other military equipment. Deputy Foreign Minister Majadli Wahabi of Israel repeating government threats to break off talks with the PLO if Fatah sits down with Hamas for reconciliation talks following last year's Hamas coup. Knesset member Ahmed Tibi off to Yemen to facilitate such talks. A pair of Qassam rockets launched by Gaza terrorists Friday morning, one landing between two kindergartens in the Shar HaNegev region. No injuries, but people treated for shock. One of the buildings was damaged. Gaza sources say a Hamas terrorist was killed and another wounded in an exchange of fire with Israeli soldiers in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis a few hours earlier. The Bedouin Arab who allegedly ran over and killed Police Master Sergeant Yigal Cohen at the entrance to Mitzpeh Rabon on March 13th has been charged with murder. The police investigation of the scene of the crime found no marks showing an attempt to apply the car's brakes, leading investigators to conclude that Ibrahim Tamtawi saw Cohen and ran over him on purpose. Tamtawi and another Bedouin were reportedly transporting stolen copper cable from Mitzpeh Rabon. Some pundits like to refer to Judea and Samaria as the Wild West Bank, but Jewish personalities abounded in America's Wild West. Find out about them with Tamar Yona, on demand on the Internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Kaf Bet of the 22nd of Adar Bet on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, fair and warmer until Shabbat afternoon, then cooler with local rain accompanied by isolated thunderstorms starting Sunday afternoon over most of the country. Rain over northern and central Israel on Monday. In Jerusalem Friday, a high temperature of 21 degrees centigrade, 70 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
That was a look at Jerusalem weather. And now for your local weather, here's meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
On the weather map, a low pressure system will bring some rain and snow showers on Friday. High pressure will provide cool and dry conditions on Shabbos into Sunday. Another low from Texas will bring rain showers late Sunday into Tuesday, followed by a milder trend. The official Jewish radio program weather forecast for Pittsburgh and vicinity. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a chance of a few rain and snow showers, low 30 to 35. Shabbos day, mostly sunny, high temperatures 45 to 50. Saturday night, partly cloudy, low 25 to 30. On Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers, high near 50. The outlook for Sunday night is mostly cloudy, a chance of rain showers late in the evening, low temperatures in the mid-30s. Monday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers, high temperatures near 55. This is meteorologist Glenn Fox and wishing everyone great weather and a great Shabbos.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Let's now take a happy look at the Mazel Tovs this week. A lot of marriages going on. Dr. and Mrs. Emmanuel Canal on the marriage of their daughter Gila to Yonatan Zarbiv. And Mr. and Mrs. Rudy Fabian on the marriage of their son Jordan to Leah Horowitz. Of course, Ruth and Lion Mandelkorn on the marriage of their granddaughter. And finally, Rabbi and Mrs. Yaakov Rosenstein on the bar mitzvah of their son Moshe Aryeh. I think I remember when he was born. Mazel tov, mazel tov. As we take a look at some events around the community, the 15th annual Pittsburgh Jewish Israeli Film Festival is going to be held March 27th to April 13th. Plenty of Jewish movies to enjoy. Call Susie Neft for the details, 412-992-5203. There's a full-service Jewish day camp still accepting campers. Call Rabbi Shmuley Rothman, camp director, at 412-715-4883 for more information. Don't forget, the meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous is meeting at the Pittsburgh Colo, 5808 Beacon Street, every Sunday evening from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. It's not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. And a brand new program coming in. It's kind of exciting into the Pittsburgh area. To defend yourself and teach your children how to protect themselves against stranger danger. And, you know, we've had some reports of stuff going on in the community lately. It's very important that your children have the basics in which to know to defend yourself. Well, there's a brand new program coming in to do just that. Classes are coming and forming this Sunday at Hillel between 3 and 5 p.m. That's Hillel Academy on Beacon Street. There will be separate classes for men and women and boys and girls. For more information, call Melinda Holler, Fourth Degree Black Belt, 412-841-9689. And you want to, this whole concept is going to be designed to be halakhically okay, number one. And number two, is going to be taught by somebody who really knows what they're doing and is family oriented. So it's going to be a very nice thing for families to get involved in. 412-841-9689. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your mazel tovs on our program, you can do it, 412-979-5770, or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 7:23 p.m. Sociologist turned author, filling in the blanks in the Book of Judges. You don't want to miss this. Eva Hatzoni Halevi, next on the Jewish Experience. Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you've worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. Excited to have with us this afternoon on the Jewish Experience radio program, Eva Hatzoni Halevi, who is, interestingly enough, a professor of sociology who has now retired from Bar-Ilan University, is a sociology professor emeritus turned author, which I think is fascinating, and she's written biblical novels. This is her third biblical novel that she's written, and it's called Triumph of Devorah. Eva, welcome to the program.
Hello, shalom everybody, and I'm very happy to be on your program.
Very good. So, obviously you've lived most of your life in Israel, and you have been working at Bar-Ilan, and now you're writing biblical novels. So I guess before we even talk about Triumph of Devorah, tell us, what is a biblical novel?
A biblical novel is a novel which is based on the text of the Bible, on the scripture. But the biblical stories are very short and they leave gaps. So in my novels, I fill out those gaps with my imagination, with my identification with the people who populate the Bible. But at the same time, the novels are totally faithful to the scripture, to the text.
That's kind of neat. So
there's nothing that I change. I only add.
I was going to ask you about that. So why did you choose biblical novels as a genre to begin with? In other words, do you feel like that limits your creativity at all, or that's just what brought you to do biblical novels?
It doesn't limit my creativity. On the contrary, it enhances it. It's the only topic I could really write about. I'm not a novelist. I'm a biblical novelist.
That's fascinating.
Why did I decide to write about... about the Bible, biblical novels? Well, it's part of my journey in life. Rather late in life, I decided to start reading the Bible on my own, and I was totally fascinated by it.
Wow.
I realized that it was something that I hadn't realized before, although, of course, I'd studied the Bible like everybody else in Israel. I didn't realize what sort of fascinating, amazing type of collection of books it was. Then when I started reading it on my own, I don't know how to express it. I was totally fascinated and captured by the book. And because I saw it was full, that it was full of the most dramatic and the most traumatic stories.
Absolutely.
About people like, you know, like us.
Absolutely.
Lived thousands of years ago and still are so much like us.
Well, just out of curiosity, did that bring you back or closer to Hashem? Did it bring you closer to observance at all, or is it more of an intellectual thing that stimulated you on this?
No, it's part, as I said, a part of my Jewish journey. As a child, I was very religious, and then when I grew up, I left Hashem and Judaism and Israel, and I went to look for greener pastures in other cultures. And then, rather late in life, as I said, I started reading the Bible, and it was part of my tshuva, of my return to religion, to Judaism, to Israel, and to the Bible. And it brought me very, very close to Hashem.
That's interesting. A lot of people find an interesting path to come back, and you found an expression in biblical novels, which is, I think that's very unique. It's something I haven't heard or seen before, so that's kind of neat. So let's talk a little bit about your latest work, which is called Triumph of Devorah, and it's obviously based on the book of Judges. The question is, to really enjoy the book, does somebody have to have a working knowledge of the book of Judges?
Absolutely no. If one knows the book of Judges, it's actually two chapters in the book of Judges. If one has read it, it makes it very special. It adds a dimension to reading the book. But no, it's a book written for simple enjoyment, for reading pleasure. It's a page turner.
Well,
anybody can enjoy it.
Sure. Now, is this... let's say they haven't read the book of Judges, will they come away from a real fundamental understanding besides the novel part? I mean, it's hard to separate the two, but will they get a basic understanding of the book of Judges, maybe in a more entertaining way?
Now, not of the whole book of Judges, but of this particular story, which takes up those two chapters. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and many people have told me, not in particular about this book, but about all the books, that once they had read them, it made them want to go back and read the Bible.
Right. So in other words, actually, by reading this, it could be an enjoyable thing that could stimulate somebody to find their own teshuvah, right?
Hopefully, yes. Certainly, I think that was one of my hopes, one of my intentions. And it did work in the sense that many readers have told me that they went back to read the Bible after they had read my novels. Now, whether they made tshuva or not, I'm not sure, but they did go back to read the text.
Very nice. So when you say you fill in the blanks that's not in there, of course, a lot of times the Chachamim also try to fill in the blanks with Midrashic commentary. Do you base any of this on any of the sources that have provided commentary on this book, or is this totally from you based on just the pshat, the literal meaning of the text, and then your interpretation?
The pshat, absolutely the pshat. I have to admit that I looked at the commentaries, I looked at the Midrash, but I couldn't actually connect to it. I went back to the biblical text itself. I'm sort of, you might say, a fundamentalist. Okay. I wanted to understand the Bible on my own, to interpret it on my own, and I think, you know, every person is entitled to have a direct connection to the Bible. You don't have to go through the interpreters. That's at least the way I understand it.
Okay. Well,
that on Mount Sinai, the Torah was given to the entire people, not only to biblical scholars.
Sure, but I mean, we do have to, instead of reinventing the wheel, so to speak, we try to learn from them in any case. So, but of course, if you're in a literary mode, I mean, it's a whole concept is to also create an enjoyable, captivating story, which, as I understand, this book is. So tell us a little bit, just a synopsis of how the story proceeds and how, in your mind, you perceive that what is the triumph of Devorah?
When it starts out with war, Deborah was the most beloved, most eminent, charismatic leader in ancient, woman leader in ancient Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And she became the leader at a time of trouble for Israel. The Canaanites were threatening Israel with destruction. And she calls on a man by the name of Barak, a warrior, not this Barak, which we have in the United States now. She calls on him to go out and save the people of Israel by going to war against the Canaanites.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the beginning of the story. And the amazing part is that he says to her, if you go with me, I will go. If you come with me, I will go. But if you don't come with me, I will not go. So this is really what started me thinking, why at the time, about, let's say, 3,000 years ago, when warfare was a man's affair, why did he want to in the battlefield? Mm-hmm. And this sort of got the wheels of my mind moving, and this is the question that comes out of the Bible. And in my novel, I try to answer this question in my own way.
Sure.
And a very complicated plot develops throughout the book, with lots of suspense and tension in it between various personalities. And the triumph of Deborah is the last part, when she actually reaches peace with the Canaanites, because the story in the Bible ends with saying that the land was at peace for 40 years, with Tishkot Haaretz Arba'im Shana. So then again, my novel fills out the blanks by saying how this peace was reached, and since she was the leader at the time, I said to myself, she must have been the one who brought about not only the war, but also peace.
Uh-huh. Very good. So, but now you talk about Deborah being cast off by her husband and developing an attraction for Barak and so forth. But is this, of course, the Torah always talks about the concept of, you know, marriage being half, each having a half a soul and becoming one soul and so forth. Is this book, is it emphasizing the concept of wholeness, of family? Is it appropriate for all ages?
Well, it's a book for, I wouldn't say it's for children, it's for adults, but
okay.
It has colorful stories, relationships, but it's also a very deeply religious book, and I think that there's no contradiction between it.
Okay, so it's appropriate then for any family, whether they're observant, non-observant, to read.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's the thing. So we're almost out of time. As a wrap up with this book, where can people find it? First of all, if they want to pick it up.
It's available in some bookstores. If it's not there, it can be ordered through the bookshop, or it can be ordered online through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and a variety of other online shops, Judaica shops, and so forth. It's very widely available.
Very good. And you're on a speaking tour now in the U.S.?
Yes, at the moment I'm touring Florida.
Very nice, very nice. Well, it's kind of a neat thing, because in a sense, your sociology looks like it brought you right to this concept of developing a neat story from the Book of Judges, and also from, I guess, Song of Songs and your other novel as well, and Ruth. So it's kind of come full circle here. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon on the Jewish Experience radio program. And I want to wish you a good Shabbos and a successful tour. And we hope that your book will do well, and people will enjoy it for many years to come.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be on your show, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
נכנסים לצרוי, אומרים לקודש ברוך הוא, אומרים לקודש ברוך הוא, אוי גאל, אוי זונו. שם שישראל נכנסים לצרוי, אומרים לקודש ברוך הוא, אומרים לקודש ברוך הוא, אוי גאל, אוי זונו. Ya lo hizo, ya lo hizo.
Yisroim, Omrim LaKodesh Baruch Hu, Omrim LaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ge'ah Yizonu. Shashi Yisrael nechnesim Litzroim, Omrim LaKodesh Baruch Hu, Omrim LaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ge'ah Yizonu. Shashi Yisrael